If I were titling this, I would name it, What Did Jesus Do That I Can Do? It's one of the most important things we need to find out. So let's talk a little bit about what has happened. First of all, Satan rebelled and decided to do things his own way instead of what God wanted. So he had sin in his heart. And then he came to Adam and Eve, which God had created Adam and Eve in his own image, and he breathed into them, and they were connected with God all the time. They were connected with his righteousness. They were pure. They were not sinful. They had the kind of flesh that we want to have. We have sinful flesh now. We are more prone to do wrong than to do right. But they were innocent. They were innocent about wrong. They just knew right. And they were connected constantly with God. They talked to him face to face. That's what I'm trying to say. Someday, we will walk and talk to God face to face. There's nothing between. So our study this morning is about what came between and how to get back. And that is the most important thing we all need to know, because we need to know how to do that. Jesus is our example in all things. That's how we'll find out how we can do it. They knew that she would fall, and they had a plan in place just in case that happened. And so when it happened, Genesis 3:8 is where it talks about when God came. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. God came to talk to them in the evening, and they were afraid. They had done wrong. They lost the covering that they had had, that robe of righteousness that we need. They lost that. They lost their innocence. And so now they were afraid of God. And in essence, what they did is, instead of standing under God's government, they chose the rebellion, the arch enemy of God. They chose Satan's government, and they stepped under it. So they took off righteousness, and they put on filthiness, and they were naked. In essence, that's what happened. So they realized they couldn't meet with God like this, and but God had the plan, and he came to tell them about it, and that's what Genesis 3:15 is. He told them, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, the church, and between thy seed, Satan's followers, and her seed, the church's followers, and it shall bruise thy head, Satan. You're going to have a deadly wound in the head, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel, the Messiah that I'm sending. You'll bruise him. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's enmity between the two fleshes. Immediately, there's nothing in common. Satan's rebellion, his form of government, there's enmity between his and God's. So when they stepped over here under Satan's government, there was a gulf fixed. It was sin. That's what the gulf is. And God could no longer have the communion, the connected communion with them like he had had before. So they chose to disobey. Yes. And Adam also did, because Adam chose what God had given him, his wife, over God. So he broke the commandment that put God first. So, what did Jesus do that I can do? And that's the important question that, you know, if people don't understand, they come to the conclusion that I can't live like Jesus did. But Jesus didn't actually, wasn't a person, that he was a God and he couldn't sin, which is a lie. So we're going to get it out of the Bible today and find out that Jesus really did take on our flesh. After 4,000 years of inherited weakness and sin, he took on the flesh of, or the tendencies of all of that evil. It names who his ancestors were. You can go down through all of them and find that they broke every single commandment God ever had. They were murderers. Adam, of course, broke that commandment. He chose Eve over God. Abraham lacked faith. He misrepresented and lied. He was afraid for his life and lied more than once. Isaac made the same mistake. You read about these people. Jacob stole. Jacob lied. David murdered and concealed. Solomon worshipped idols. You can go on down the list and you find that Jesus took on the flesh of these people to show that we can overcome. And he's going to show us how we can. So let's start in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Jesus is our example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not again, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So it says that Christ is our example. And we all know John 3:16. This was the plan of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world, we were already condemned because we were under that rebellious government that our ancestors chose. We were born into it. But Jesus came along to show us how to get out of it, to get reconnected with God. So if he's our example in all things, we need to study him to find out how to get reconnected, correct? First of all, it says there that he died for our past sins. So we believe in him. He will cover those with his righteousness, take those away. Romans 1:3 says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was born in the line of David after 4,000 years of hereditary tendencies to evil. Jesus came and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, the Bible does tell us that he came in the line of all those men who had done wrong. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Okay, so walking after the flesh would be following under Satan's government. But Jesus walked after the Spirit. He was connected to heaven. Verse 3, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We've sinned. There's nothing we can't undo it. You can't go back and undo the past. It's already done. We've already sinned. We made big mistakes. So Jesus, the law can't undo those. What could the Ten Commandments undo in our past lives? Nothing. It just shows us we've sinned, shows us what we need to be like, shows us we've done wrong, but Jesus, with his sinless life, remember we already read that verse that said that he had no guile, no sin. With his sinless life, we take his, we believe in him, he puts that robe on us, covers the old, now he's going to show us how to live without doing it. So that's what we're studying. What did Jesus do that I can do to be an overcomer? We need to know that. And for those who would say, well, Jesus was God and couldn't sin, let's read Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, how did this work? Because he laid aside his crown, he laid aside his royal robes, he came down through the plan of salvation as a child, and while he was still God, it was not blasphemy for Jesus to say, "I am the Son of God." Jesus was divine. He came down and took that all off. Although he was still the Son of God, he came in the form of a person who had the flesh of under 4,000 years of weakness, demoralization. He showed that you and I can attain something we had lost when Adam fell, because he covered himself with flesh, our sinful flesh. Now, it's a blended thing. He was still the Son of God, but he covered himself with flesh. That's why when you go to Matthew 4, let's turn to Matthew 4. When Satan came, Satan wanted to get Jesus to use his divine nature to overcome sin. Then he could say, well, these people don't have that, and they can't overcome sin like that. But Jesus never used his divine nature to overcome sin. Instead, he stayed connected with heaven, and he stayed filled with the Spirit, and he followed the Spirit. The Spirit was in his mind telling him which way to go, reminding him of the scriptures that he had memorized, which we can do. So we can claim that divine help just like Jesus did. In Matthew 4, Jesus said, verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus, as Son of God, could have made those rocks into bread and eaten them. But he would not, because that would be using the divine power to help himself. So he would not do that. He used divine power to help other people. You see that over and over again. To do good and to perform miracles. As part of his work here on earth, that was his work. But he never, ever used it to help himself. He could have come down from the cross like they taunted him, but he would not do it, because if he did, Satan would have won. Satan would have said, "You used it, now I've got all these other people, because they cannot, you did not live a sinless life as a human." Jesus lived a sinless life as a human, just like you and I can do. And how did he do that? He stayed connected. And the way that he did it, let's turn to the Old Testament, because it's a prophecy about how he would do that. Psalms 40, and then verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than that can be numbered." God's wonderful plan of salvation is, we can't understand it, we can't number it. Verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." This is a prophecy about Jesus. The sacrifice every morning and every evening was typical, or to be typified by, meaning that we come to God in the morning for worship, to be connected with him, and in the evening to be connected with him, and all through the in-between time we need to stay connected with him. So in verse 6 it says, "Mine ears hast thou opened." So God talked to Jesus the same way he can talk to us, not face to face. When Jesus was here, he did not talk to God face to face. He talked to God the same way you and I can. Your ears have to be opened. The Holy Spirit will open your ears and help you to understand the things in the Bible, and by prayer. The law of God was in his mind. So let's turn to Hebrews 10, and we'll see how it quotes this same passage of Scripture and makes it a little more clear. Hebrews 10, verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith," he's talking about Jesus, "sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, and that he may establish the second. The sacrifice that he took away, he wanted to establish what it really meant. And that was in verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, He wants to write that law in our hearts. He doesn't really want the sacrifice, but it was typified of connecting us to heaven by worship in the morning and in evening and all through the day, staying connected, and he could write the law in our heart that way. If we stay connected with heaven, we'll see that we will not sin, because remember Joseph? Joseph said, "How could I do this evil and sin against my God?" Joseph stayed connected with heaven all day long. He was in a bad position. He was a slave. He was in prison. But no matter what your circumstances, you can stay connected to heaven and keep from sinning, not by yourselves, but through the help, divine help from heaven. Jesus did not have an advantage over us. Let's turn in the Bible to Hebrews 2, starting with verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." It's talking about Jesus. The world is going to be put into subjection under Jesus. "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands." Jesus did not even have the power of the angels. Jesus was made lower than the angels. Jesus was made with our flesh. We do not have the power of the angels. So, in his humanity, Jesus was just like you and I. Just like you and I. He had no advantage over us. Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus went through many temptations. Every temptation that you and I have, Jesus went through it, but he did not fall. By staying connected with heaven, he overcame those. He was made perfect. When we overcome something, we're bigger than it. Yeah. If it overcomes us, it's bigger than us. Jesus overcame them by the power from heaven, by staying connected and keeping the Holy Spirit in his mind. That is the unpardonable sin, to drive away the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we can be saved. That's the way Jesus had. He had the Holy Spirit constantly guiding him. So if we can't keep it, then there is no hope for us. We have to keep that Holy Spirit with us, just like Jesus did, and it means the connection with heaven, to keep his voice in our mind, to tell us right, wrong, this way, that way. So, remember the verse where it said he opened my ears? Let's turn to Isaiah 50, starting with verse 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That is a prophecy about Jesus. God woke him up more every morning, early in the morning. He listened. He read. he communed with God every morning. Then, all through the day, he had that connection with God. That is how we have to beat Satan too. The only way we can connect with God, we can't do it face to face. Paul says, now we see God darkly, like through a glass. We really can't see him, but we will see him face to face. Now we have to see him through the Bible, the Holy Spirit guiding our minds to help us understand what the prophecies say. And he'll open our ears and help us to understand him. He'll give us the morning star, the first light. But then we can talk to Jesus. We can talk to Jesus and God face to face. Until then, we're going to stay connected. As a child, Jesus did this. In Luke 2:40, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As a child, he gained wisdom through the scriptures, just like you and I can, and he lived that connected life. Never fell, because if every single day he's connected, and you're not going to fall. When we break that connection by choosing to do wrong, then
it is our choice.
It is our choice. Yes. That's what the will is. I put my will to do something, and I will do it. Or I can choose to do this, something wrong. I can put my will under Satan's government, or I can choose to put my will under God's government. Then I have all power from heaven with that connection. The Holy Spirit sends it, and there's no reason for me to fall. But it is my choice to put my will over there. So Jesus always kept on the side of righteousness. He always kept with that and showed us that it is possible for us to do the same. So I think it's really neat how it says there, he opened my ear. He woke me up morning by morning. We need our ears opened. We need to wake up early and we need to spend that time with God, just like the sacrifice in the morning and in the evening represented. It represented waking up early and opening our ears to hear and then staying connected all day long. That's what it represented. And he took away the old, he took away the sacrifices of the lambs, established the new to make us stay connected. Open our ears in the morning, hear, worship him, and that's the new covenant. He's going to write his law in our heart. So that's what it really means. There's meaning in all of these Old Testament things. We need to know them. They're really important. Jesus understood him. Jesus understood. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. You want me to open my ears and to obey. After Jesus died, his disciples were thrown into a big confusion. They knew their experience with him. They knew it was right. They had been touched by the Holy Spirit. But now something terrible had happened. They didn't expect it. They didn't know what was going on. And the whole story in Luke 24 talks about the disciples being discouraged after Jesus died. And verse 13 says, behold, two of them went that same way to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. So as they walked along, they communed together, and Jesus joined them. And they didn't know who he was. And they kept talking about what had happened to Jesus. He died. And how impressed they had been with him. And they thought he was the Son of God. And they were so discouraged. And he said unto them, What things? What are you talking about? They said, don't you know what has happened? Are you a stranger around here? Everybody knows what has happened. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or opened unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opened the scriptures to them. He opened their ears. He opened their understanding. Verse 25, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So, part of it, opening our understanding, we got to get that Bible out. Can't have any dust on that Bible, because we need that every day. If we neglect reading the Bible, then we fall. And Satan knows that. So that's why Satan worked so hard to get rid of God's Word. Because if we have God's Word and we stay connected and we put our will over there to do it, we have all power from heaven to get it done. And Jesus is our example in all things. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If we overcome in this way, we're promised to have everlasting life. That's what the tree of life will give us. We eat from the tree of life and we will have everlasting life. No more death, no more sickness, no more sadness. Let's turn to Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. We'll be alive forevermore. We won't be destroyed in that second death. Revelation 2:17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. He'll give us the hidden manna. He'll give us those hidden things in the scriptures to open our ears and help us to understand them. He promises that so that we can stay connected and have the Holy Spirit on our heart all the time to tell us. Revelation 2, verse... Well, right there in Revelation 2:17, says he's going to give us a new name. You know, that has kind of a symbolic meaning, because when God talked to Jacob, Jacob had sinned, and his name meant supplanter, which means to take from another person for yourself. Deceiver, and he took from his brother, he deceived to get it. And it meant supplanter. But God gave him a new name. And the new name, Yisrael, in Hebrew means he will rule. From being a deceiver, he becomes an overcomer, which will rule. So let's turn to Revelation 2:26. It says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, the first light he'll give to us, the first understanding of hidden things in the Bible. And he's going to give us rule over the nations. Because we'll understand things that will happen in the future. The morning star is the very first one to come up, to give the first light. So it's like a symbolic meaning to give us the first light, first understanding. Remember, he says, I will do nothing but I will reveal my secrets unto my servants, the prophets. He gave them the morning star. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, as Christ's righteousness over them, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We need that Christ righteousness. We can't undo all the wrongs that we've done. But when we accept him, believe on his name, he will give that to us. And he can blot our names out of the book of life. We can change sides. After we've chosen to be on under God's banner, under his government, we can take our will and put it back under Satan. And then he'll have to blot our name out of the book of life. How sad. I'm going to turn to Luke 12 real quick, starting in verse 8. Jesus said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." We've sinned. We've done terrible things we can't undo. We need them forgiven. We need them confessed. He promises that if we confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then he says, if you deny me before other people, I won't confess you in heaven where you need those sins forgiven. So it's our job, it's our necessity to confess him, what he's done for us, to praise the Lord, like we did this morning, like we talked, each of us, you know, talked about our own testimonies. It's a wonderful time. It's a very special thing we can do. And it's necessary for us to have our sins forgiven in heaven. We can't deny Jesus before others. And the next one is in Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Would you like to have a new name, like Israel? A new name that means something just for you? Means overcomer? I plan to get it. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Open your ears. Yes. Open your ears so you can hear it all day long. Open your eyes that you can see what he wants to show you. And you'll be connected and you'll be safe if you stay that way. Just like Jesus did. Jesus is our example in all things. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He promises if we overcome, we'll help him rule in his kingdom. You know what? He needs overcomers right now. In this world, they're few and far between. And so if you and I step over to his side and gain that victory that he provides all power for us to do, he will honor us in heaven. He says, you can sit with me in my throne, which he gave to Jacob, or Israel. Says he will rule, means he will rule. And so he'll do the same for us. We will join as in the Israelite heritage. The promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll be in that lineage. We step out from Satan's dominion, which we were born under. We join God's family, and we can stay there. We can be overcomers. And we can have a new name in heaven. The overcomer. Jesus came as a man to obey God's holy law, and in this way, he is our example. The Lord Jesus came to our world not to reveal what a God could do, but what a man could do through faith in God's power to help in every emergency. Man is through faith to be a partaker in the divine nature and to overcome every temptation wherewith he is beset. Jesus did that in the same flesh that you and I have, with the power from heaven. Just like he did to Jesus, he said, took him up on the mountain, he said, look at all of this. And he showed him to all of the world and all the wonderful things that people had built, showed him just good things out there. And he said, I'll give it to you right now. You just bow down and worship me. Jesus knew that he would get it eventually from reading the scriptures, but he knew there was a hard battle to fight through our flesh, through the human flesh, to get there. But that was God's way, to fight that battle through our flesh with divine help, instead of just having it handed right now by the pleasures of sin for a season. So we have to choose the same way, you know. We want happiness and the good things in life, and Satan holds them out and dangles them and says, here, this is how you can have it right now. You don't have to wait. If we're impatient, if we don't overcome impatience, we're going to fall to Satan. If we think we have to have everything right now, we're going to fall. We got to hold out through connection with God and say, no, I will not do that because it's wrong. Because God said don't. Just because God says no. We don't have to understand anything else. Just because he says no, that is the only reason I need to do it. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this fruit. It looked good. It even tasted good. Just because he said no, they needed to obey, and they would have been saved a lot of misery. And the same for us. We'll be saved from that second death. Hold out. Stick in there with God. And how? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's what Paul means. He means when you wake up in the morning, have time with God. Then all day long, stay connected. Pray without ceasing. Don't break that connection. Talk all day long. Should be in your mind. In Isaiah, it says, there'll be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you are to go to the right or the left, he'll tell you which way to go. He'll tell us how to order our lives every day. So if we don't know, if we're having trouble now, it's because we're not being connected. Fall down on your knees to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness for the past and for help, that connection. Ask him for the Holy Spirit and tell him you're going to put your will on his side and to choose to do right whenever the situation comes. And there is no need for us to sin again. But if we fall, we have an advocate with the Father who is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he'll pick us back up and start us on that same way again. And we need to overcome. Time is very short. We don't have a lot of time left. And one of these days, for all of us who know what is right but aren't doing it all, one of these days it'll be too late. He'll have sealed the right and the wrong, and we will be on the wrong side. We'll be on the side that we've had that foot in all the time. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Don't tell the Holy Spirit to get lost when he's telling you what's right. So, what did Jesus do that I can do? So, pray without ceasing. Get that connection. Then, don't quench it. Don't put it out. Whatever you do, don't put it out. So, what did Jesus do that I can do? He overcame Satan in sinful human flesh by being connected.